Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hey, good Saturday morning. Hey, many of us get the day off, enjoy the freedom of not having a boss tell us what to do. Welcome, Mike Carter, to Pirate Money Radio.
Great to be here again on a Saturday morning.
Yeah. Do you have honey-do lists at home?
Oh, I've always got a lot to do. I got to get better at checking some of those off. I'm losing my honey.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we got honey-do lists at home. We got the HOA. You don't have an HOA, do you?
I don't. But I got enough other things that I constantly have to do, cutting trees and everything else.
Yeah, but you don't have anybody.
That's going to get the environmentalists fired up. These are trees that were dead.
You don't have anybody telling you to cut the grass, trim the trees, take the vines off the, you know, paint the shutters, all the things that the HOA can tell us. You know, on Saturday also, we got to pay our bills. It is better with online bill pay, but still, there's so many more bills than there were when we were younger.
It is. You can't just buy things once and keep using it. Now it's software as a service. You got to update things. You got to pay for them ongoing.
Conveniences cause maintenance, and maintenance causes inconvenience. Yeah, this is our only day off, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to open with a psalm regarding the purpose of government. We're going to talk about the high cost of regulation and lawfare today. And there's a psalm that I ran across in my daily Bible reading, Psalm 72. It's a psalm of Solomon. But listen to this nature and statement about government. It says, "Give your love of justice to the king, O God, and righteousness to the king's son. Help him judge your people in the right way. Let the poor always be treated fairly. May the mountains yield prosperity for all, and may the hills be fruitful. Help him to defend the poor, to rescue the children of the needy, and to crush their oppressors. May they fear you as long as the sun shines, as long as the moon remains in the sky. Yes, forever. May the king's rule be refreshing like spring rain on freshly cut grass, like the showers that water the earth. May all the godly flourish during his reign. May there be abundant prosperity until the moon is no more." That sounds like the role of government is for our blessing and benefit, right?
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily sound like what we have today, though.
No, unfortunately, is it working? Justice? Are we getting, I don't know, refreshing, prosperity? Those are the things the king's rule is supposed to bring.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that love right now.
Yeah, no, here's something I saw. This is about, what is this? This came out in 2013, so it's more than in June of 2013, so it's about 11 years ago. Did you know, according to a study that was published in Reason Magazine, that federal regulations, that's the goal of the government telling us what to do, how to do it, you know, whether you can do this on this day or this way or whatever, they've made the average American 75% poorer.
Well, that's a checkbox for ending the war on poverty. They've not only helped the poor, they've made us all poorer.
Yeah, well, if you look at, according to the Journal of Economic Growth, and this is starting, I think, in 1949, and they just said, what if we left regulations to where they were at the end of World War II and just a little bit after that, and we didn't add any more regulations, what would the average household income be? And this is 11 years ago, they projected that the median household income would be $330,000 a year instead of $53,000 a year. That's in 2013.
Wow. So 330 average income.
330,000.
Are these inflated dollars or uninflated dollars, you think?
No, they'd be regular dollars.
They'd be inflated. I'll take 330,000 even at inflated dollars right now.
That was 11 years ago.
Wow.
We've had a lot of inflation since then. We've had a lot of regulation added since then. You know, we worry about the minimum wage. Well, minimum wage creates a problem because, you know, poor people can't afford to live. And so what we're going to do is we're going to mandate and put a regulation in that says you can't pay anybody less than, in California, it's $20 an hour.
Yeah.
If you pay them less than $20 an hour. So a bunch of people are getting fired. A bunch of fast food restaurants. Yes. Yeah. And the ones staying open are replacing workers with kiosks and robots. Do you like that when you go into order?
No, I absolutely refuse to use the kiosk, and I wait there at the counter until somebody comes. And I was at one the other day, and they didn't come quick enough. I'm like, I'm just going somewhere else.
So you actually left the restaurant. You didn't start to use the kiosk.
Because by the time you go through all those menus and point things, then I got to delete this and delete that. It's more effort than it's worth.
All right. So let's think about this. $330,000 a year is what the average, the median family income would have been 11 years ago if there hadn't been regulation. Do you think we've increased regulation or decreased it since 2013?
I know we have definitely increased it. I look at this and see that the average income is $53,000. It could be $330,000. It reminds me of that famous Reagan quote, the government knocking at your door and saying, don't worry, I'm here from the government. I'm here to help you. The three scariest words or whatever that might be.
Yeah.
Because this is exactly it. I imagine an America where the average income is $330,000.
Oh, we'd be phenomenal. And we wouldn't worry about poverty. And you know, we'd be able to fund so many wonderful things. But what they insist on doing at government is we're going to control everything, we'll make it better for you. That's what they tell you. You know what it does? When you add red tape and you add regulations, according to Washington Examiner in October of last year, the red tape burden is now 10.34 billion hours or 15,000 lifetimes. And that's just the federal paperwork requirements required by President Joe Biden's expanding regulations cost taxpayers and companies over 10 billion hours a year, the equivalent of 15,000 human lifetimes of work, sleep, play, and everything in between, according to agency reports.
That's just one president, one administration, 15,000 human lifetimes. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, let's contrast. I looked something up earlier today. We talk about Thomas Jefferson a lot in our treasure maps and economic war room there. And Thomas Jefferson talked about how paper is poverty and it's only the ghost of money and not money itself. But he had another quote that I thought would apply to our discussion today as it relates to regulation. And this is from his first inaugural address. It says, still one thing more as he's finishing this up. Fellow citizens, a wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of the labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, and this is necessary to close the circle of our facilities. I think we failed the sum of good government test there.
We did. It's the Psalm 72 test, which said, give your love of justice to the king. So does the government love justice? Do they judge people in a right way? Do they let the poor be treated fairly? Do they provide prosperity for all and abundant prosperity until the moon is no more? Well, the moon's still in the sky. We're not seeing the abundant prosperity. In fact, government has interfered with that. Can you imagine an America in which the average income was $330,000 a year?
Wow. No, it would be a completely different world. Think of the feelings of hope people would have instead of feelings of where's my money going with inflation? How do I keep up with all this paperwork? I saw something the other day where another regulation coming out was like, buy your car before 2025 or 2026 because every car is going to have a built-in breathalyzer in it now. Now, I don't drink alcohol on a normal basis, but I'm going to have to blow into my car before I can start it on a new car coming up. That's costing us money. That's costing me freedom. I'm not happy about it.
Same government that was requiring the Sisters of Mercy or the nuns to have birth control added to their health care plan, even though they've vowed celibacy and they're certainly not in need of birth control, but they were going to require it for every health care plan. And the religion actively opposes the abortion provisions that they were trying to force into their health care plans. It's just government just interferes, intercedes, and so forth. It's not the government of Thomas Jefferson. And it's certainly not the government of the Bible with the wise King Solomon from Psalm 72, but it is the government that we're facing today. And we have political choices, and we've got to decide, do we want a nanny state government that's determining what our futures to look like and telling us how to live, what to do? I mean, I get enough of that from the job. I don't want to spend my day off worrying about what the government's telling me to do, but that's exactly what we're facing.
You know, last week we talked CBDC, and you combine the control of CBDC with regulation, that seems like a force multiplier nightmare of what regulation is going to look like.
Complete, absolute control is what they called it at the Bank for International Settlements. All right, so we're going to be talking about regulation, the high cost of it, and lawfare, and we'll talk about the cost just under President Biden when we come back from this next break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're talking about the high cost of regulation and lawfare. And just before the break, we shared a story, a study from the year 2013, where it said the average American family would earn $330,000 a year if we kept regulations just as they were in 1949. And that was a Reason magazine covered a study that said that. But what about updating it? What's it been like under President Obama in 2013? Then we had President Trump, and then we have President Biden now. There is new information out. It's as of May 30th of this year. So it's very fresh information. Exclusive new report details just how much regulations under Biden have cost average Americans. And this was published in the Daily Caller, written by Will Kelsler. It says the Biden administration has set in motion a wave of new regulations that have already cost the U.S. more than $1 trillion, which equates to thousands of dollars per family, according to a new report from the Job Creators Network. There have been $1.6 trillion in costs imposed from a total of 923 new federal regulations that have been finalized under President Joe Biden, with $1.2 trillion of those being put in place in just the past few months, according to the JCN. In the first 2 years of the Biden administration, new regulations are estimated to have led to an average of almost $10,000 in added future and present costs to American households, which could jump to $60,000 if the trend continues across a two-term presidency.
You know, Johnson started what was called the War on Poverty, which failed. Unfortunately, just looking at these stats here, it seems like in this case, our current president is succeeding in the war on prosperity.
Yeah, the war on prosperity. Well, sadly enough, that's the opposite of what government is supposed to do, according to Psalm 72, which is to guarantee abundant prosperity until the moon is no more. But yeah, so all the way up till 2013, from 1949 to 2013, the government interfered and cost American taxpayers about $280,000 a year, approximately per family. $280,000. And it looks like President Biden by himself would add $60,000 more cost to that. I mean, bottom line is the average American family would be earning something over $400,000 a year if we just kept our regulations where they were.
If we had that kind of economic prosperity, what would that mean to our federal debt, you think?
Oh, my goodness. We wouldn't have federal debt. Well, it's the war on poverty that caused that, by the way. We've spent about $30 trillion in wealth transfers in order to combat this. So what happens is it's just a simple thing. Let's just take Governor Newsom in California. He decides that they want to have a $20 an hour minimum wage. And so you go to your fast food restaurant, let's say a McDonald's or a Subway or something. And, well, I can't afford to keep somebody working for $20 an hour. So you fire a bunch of people. And then they say, hey, we can't afford to live. And so they go on unemployment. Then you tax people to pay the unemployment of the people that just got fired. It is the opposite of free enterprise. It's regulated enterprise. Now, I have no problem with proper regulation. I want clean water. Mm-hmm. I want clean air. But I don't want my government deciding which light bulb I can use. Do you?
Not at all. In fact, I remember Milton Friedman back in the 70s. We're kind of showing our age here.
Of course. Free to choose.
But
yes.
I remember there was something he did on regulation. It all kind of started, I think, I'm a car guy, kind of into cars, when Ralph Nader came out with that Corvair, and they had regulation against how dangerous these cars were and so forth. But he went back, I remember, in a video I saw, where it started out with like one or two books of regulation from the 1930s. And then he's got these books stacked up in the Capitol, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. To now, we just got thousands of volumes of books and regulations.
And that
we didn't have that in 36.
In the 70s.
One. Yeah, yeah. I hate to see what. I don't know. You couldn't even fit those books in the Capitol at this point.
Oh, that's okay. They'll put them on a flash drive. You know, computer storage is pretty good. But here's the reality. His miniseries on PBS was called Free to Choose. We no longer have that freedom to choose. In fact, by the year 2035 in California, I think it's 2035, you won't be able to buy an internal combustion engine gas-powered car. But do people want what they're saying? You have to buy an electric vehicle. What about what Hertz is doing? Hertz bought so many of these electric vehicles, and now they're dumping them on the market at fire sale prices because they bought too many and people don't want them.
I saw prices as low as $21,000 is what I saw advertised the other day.
It is getting ridiculous because these are non-economic decisions being forced on the American people against their will. Now, it's only going to accelerate. Here's another Daily Caller report. This is from March of this year. Democrats quietly telling Biden administration to churn out regulations at breakneck speed as 2024 election looms. Democrats have been encouraging the administration to finalize rules as soon as possible to preclude their expeditious reversal if Biden loses office, Punch Bowl News reported. The time is how I describe this to every head of every agency I speak with, said Democrat Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts. We need to have this done and done quickly. If we didn't learn that lesson back in 2016, then shame on us. Bottom line is, Democrats see the handwriting on the wall. The American people react negatively to excess regulation, and they're afraid they're going to lose their power. So they're going to put all these regulations in that will bind us even after they leave office, if they end up leaving
office. That's the shame. They're doing things to actually hurt the people that they represent, versus things to help them. In their mind, they think, oh, this is the solution. But government is not the solution.
Well, or is it job security? Imagine you create a brand new agency and you hire a bunch of people, and then your agency is no longer needed because you don't have those regulations. So what do you do is you create new regulations. Right now, I will bet that there are regulations on the book for buggy whip manufacturing, even though we don't make a whole lot of buggy whips in America today. What do you think?
Yeah, I would. Sure, that's still the case. And thank goodness that the horses maybe are happier. I don't know.
Yeah. So this is a big contrast. And again, we're not telling you who to vote for. That is your decision. That's your prayerful decision. You could say, I don't like President Trump because he is like this, or I don't like President Biden for this or whatever. But we are asking you to make an informed, wise decision. Base it on the scriptures. Look at what is best for our country going forward. We just heard that the Democrats are pushing on President Biden to implement as much regulation as they can. And if he has a two terms, according to research, that will cost the average American family $60,000 a family. Well, many families don't even make $60,000. Yeah. So what will happen is then we'll have to provide more subsidies and government assistance, which means we'll have higher taxes. One is a big government approach. The other is a small government approach. Search the scriptures. Find out the one that you think is best for you. But there is a huge contrast in approaches.
Anything that's going to cost me $60,000 is going to cause me to stop and pause and say, wait a second, is this good for me? I don't see how there's anything good in this.
Well, if it is good for you, then I'm all for it. I mean, if it makes for a better world, I'm all for it. But if you believe in individual liberty and you want to have more choices and you don't want anything more than your spouse, the homeowners association, well, the local police department, and the dog catchers, and then the state representatives and the bureaus of the state, and then the state government, and on and on and on till you get to the federal bureaucracy, them telling you what to do. I mean, regulations are so bad that if you happen to have a puddle in your backyard, if the EPA wants to declare it a wetland, they can literally keep you from planting flowers there.
Yeah. You know, it's a frustrating working in the legislative processes we have on private money and legislation there. You can see how the political system works, and it's the best thing we have out there, what we have today. But many of these legislators are not experts at what they're legislating on. They don't necessarily understand the details of it and what's good for it. But yet they think, you know, it might be coming from their hearts. There's a reason for why they want to see something happen there. But if they were to play through it and really understand it and not just do a checkbox to get elected next time, I think they'd be looking at this thing completely different.
Well, the problem is a lot of people, when they go to work, they say, hey, look, at 5 o'clock, I'm off work and I don't have to worry about any of the implications. I just do my job. And unfortunately, these bureaucracies are set up to be permanent. Mm-hmm. And then they just do their job and then they leave. And if you're not creating new regulations, you're not earning your keep. And so you have to keep creating new regulations, whether they're needed or not. Well,
and there's nobody there to take them out of the system. Or at least there hasn't been. Like you said, the buggy whip is probably still a regulation that exists out there.
It probably is. Well, President Trump actually actually went into office as a businessman in 2016 and said, I'm going to remove, under executive orders, he promised to cut 8 regulations for every new regulation added, fulfilling the promise of executive order 13771, which had said, we'll cut 2 regulations for every new regulation imposed.
That's progress.
Well, it did seem that way, they put out the Council of Economic Advisors estimated that this pro-growth approach to federal regulation would raise real incomes by about $3,100 per household. Now, it's nothing close to what we've had taken away from us, you know, taken from $330,000, which would have been the median income, to $53,000. But it's a step in the right direction, adding back $3,100 a year. Was he successful in doing that? Well, he would say he was. That was certainly his intention. But Brookings Institute did a study. They looked at his deregulation efforts. And you know what they said? On average, the Trump administration imposed annual net regulatory costs of $10 billion compared to $111 billion for Obama administration and $43 billion for the George Bush administration annually. So he grew regulations less.
So from an index perspective, it's positive.
Except they explained the reason why. The deep state took him to court. He actually did cut regulations. It would have had a greater financial impact, but the deep state took him to court and they won a lot of their court arguments because the courts are conflicted.
I'm going to pull the pirate thing out.
Yeah. Hey, if you've got questions about any of this, by the way, you can send your questions to us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. But the reality of it is President Trump did make a concerted effort. He did have some success. He certainly added less regulation than any prior administration, but he was not successful in really cutting back that deep state. So a lot of the people supporting him now are hoping that he learned a lot through that first administration. You know, also what cut him short? COVID. Mm-hmm. And all the COVID regulations that got thrown in at the end of his presidency. So deep state fighting back, the pandemic hit him, which also may have been deep state doing that. But net on net, he didn't add much to our regulatory burden, and President Biden absolutely has.
I don't know if we've had many presidents that have committed, I mean, at least in theory, to cut back regulations. That was a step in the right direction.
Yeah. So you put aside whether or not he was successful or not, that was definitely his intention. And they did mark down 8 regulations that they threw out for every one. Some of those were old and antiquated and didn't really have much economic impact, but some of them were serious. So this is the choice we have before us, and it's a choice between individual liberty, where you make the decisions for your life, or a government that's smarter than you and knows better than you do, that tells you exactly how much soda you can drink and exactly how many cups of coffee you should have, and, you know, implies all these health things. It's for your own good. That's what the government says. We'll talk more about this when we return on Pirate Money Radio after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm here with Mike Carter. Mike, I love America because the entrepreneurial spirit of this, the nation that's invented so many things. You know, the Otis elevator and the airplane and so many, the automobiles that were commercialized and all the internet, so many, I guess Al Gore invented the internet. He's an American, so we'll count that. But so many things have been invented in America, you know, and great new inventions. They're often defined by this. People will say it's the greatest thing since
Sliced bread.
You know, there really was a bread slicer that was invented in 1880. And it was the first sliced bread machine was sold in 1928. So this is the sliced bread inventor was born in 1880. And when he was, I guess, 48 years old, he invented the slicer and they sold the first one. That is something we should really celebrate. The best invention since sliced bread. Sliced bread itself.
It sounds so simple, but you think about it, you know, the number of cut fingers that it stopped, although they're positive, it makes it convenient to make your sandwich now. It's a big idea.
And it doesn't crumble. You know how the bread, you try and slice it yourself.
The crumbs everywhere, yes.
So the Iowa-born jeweler and inventor Otto Rowetter, this is in Epoch Times, did a study on this, turned 48 on the very day the first consumer bought the product of his new slicing machine. The bread was advertised as the greatest forward step in the baking industry since bread was wrapped. You think government would be proud of him for that, right?
I mean, I think so.
But yet, during World War II, the FDR administration banned the bread slicer and sliced bread. Can you believe that?
I can't, because I go back to Jefferson's first inaugural address. It was to restrain men from injuring one another. He was stopping injuring fingers and everything else, right? And he was lining them to pursue his pursuits for industry.
Yeah, that was an instant sensation. People loved it, but they banned it because they thought that maybe it would mean people were wrapping individual pieces of bread and wax paper, and it was taking wax paper away from the war effort. And so they banned. I mean, this is the kind of nonsense we're getting with regulations today.
You know, I got a great idea. This might be better than sliced bread. How about we just get rid of regulation and promise everybody to get to, you know, if we get this done right, $330,000 in income. I think you could win an election on that.
Yeah, or sliced regulation, at least at least reducing them and cutting them into little bite-sized chunks that we could eat. This is a control of our lives and a control of our money. It's the opposite of good government according to Psalm 72. It's the opposite of good government according to Thomas Jefferson. They're trying to control us, and the next regulations, the number one area is going to be in the form of money, and that's what central bank digital currency enables them to do, something we just covered last week, right?
Yes. Now, they've messed up on regulations on so many other things. Putting it on money has got to be probably one of the scariest things that I've heard.
Yeah, well, there are three things you can do with your money now. While we still have control of our money, we can give it, we can spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. I want control of my giving, spending, and investing. I don't want the government to regulate and hey, you can give here, but you can't give here. Why is that their business?
It's not. It clearly is not. But money, if you can control money, you can control everybody, as we discussed last week.
Well, they're coming pretty close to it. We live in a nanny state in so many ways. We've talked last week about how Mayor Bloomberg in New York wanted to limit you to 16 ounces of soda, but at least you could go to from the KFC to the Taco Bell to the Subway, and you know, you get a soda at each one of them. They'd limit you. But with central bank digital currency, as we discussed last week, they'd be able to regulate that and how much coffee you can drink, how much soda you can drink, what
and
kind
they
of.
They say it with such pride, and I'm going to say arrogance even. They know better about how we should eat or drink or what we should do, or they want to be able to control us.
If you don't know why we're only earning an average median income of $53,000 instead of the $330,000 per family we would be earning if we had our regulations back at 1949 levels, then let me read this to you from Regulation Nation, where independence is illegal without a permit. Daisy Luther wrote this, and she said, "These days you need permission from the government to do just about anything, including feeding yourself or others. Do you own a car? Every year you must go down to the DMV and pay the government for permission to drive it. Do you own a business? You must register it and pay an annual fee to operate it. Do you want to renovate your home? You must pay the government to come and tell you if you're allowed to, how you're allowed to, and to check it afterward to make sure you complied with all their rules. Do you want to swap your homemade goodies for someone else's homemade goodies? You're supposed to get permission from the government to do it, and they'd also like you to pay taxes on the transaction. Do you want to educate your children at home? In some states, you have to pay for permission to do that. You still have to pay taxes to support your local school, mind you, but you'll need a permit on top of it. Do you want to hunt or fish to supplement your food budget? You're supposed to get a license to do that too. Do you want to go off the grid? If you're even allowed to, you have to get a permit and an inspection. This is the crazy world in which we're living. Everything we do is regulated to some degree or another.
It is, and it doesn't make logical sense. You know, I was renovating my house. I was gutting it out and had a bunch of debris out in the front yard. And before I knew it, a police officer came to my door. I live in the country. And they said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm fixing up my house. And they're like, well, do you have a building permit? I'm like, do I need a building permit? He goes, well, are you doing all the work yourself? I was like, yeah, pretty much, but I have this one other person here to help me. Oh, well, if you got someone helping you, then you got to have a permit. Now, if you're doing it all on your own and only you were doing it, you don't need that permit. But if I bring in an expert to help me with like electrical, because I don't want to burn my house down, now I need the permit person, or I could have just tried to do it myself, let it burn down and not need the permit.
And that's because you live in the communist state of California, right?
No, that's here in Texas.
Oh, I know. It's crazy. So let me read some more from this article by Daisy. It says, people are weary of the countless laws so numerous that we all break them every time we set foot outside our doors. The most innocuous things have come under fire as people struggle to survive and dare to do so independently. Artisanal soap makers who use luscious ingredients like goat's milk, cocoa butter, and essential oil are being regulated out of business by Congress. The FDA has declared hand-sewn menstrual cloths to be medical devices and subject to $4,000 per year in fees, putting another cottage industry out of business. People are charged as criminals and fined for growing food in their yards because, gasp, people can see vegetables instead of grass. During the terrible flooding in Louisiana, when the government rescue operation was slow to respond, a bunch of local outdoorsmen began to save their neighbors from the rising waters. The government demanded that they get permits to save their neighbors and blockaded the area with police barriers. That's right, they used their resources to stop the rescues instead of using their resources to perform rescues. Can you imagine that? You go to your neighbor, I'm sorry, you're drowning. I'd love to help you, but I don't have a permit and the office is closed. I'll see you in the afterlife.
That reinforces the insanity of it all. That's for sure.
It does. A lady in Philadelphia area faced a fine of $600 per day for feeding hungry kids that usually depend on low cost or free lunches at school lunch during the summer. If she didn't want to pay a fine, she had to pay a fee of $1,000 and be subject to government inspections and regulations simply because she wanted to feed hungry kids. Woman in California faces jail time for making homemade ceviche and selling it through a Facebook group. They actually used law enforcement resources to get her to go to her house undercover and buy her soup and arrest her. These are the kind of things our government's doing. As you walk through this list, a church in Maryland has been fined $12,000 for allowing the homeless to sleep outside the church at night. In Houston, a Good Samaritan named Jay Hamburger is outraged that the help he has been providing to the homeless for 27 years has now made him an outlaw. They've outlawed Hamburger.
Yeah, well, it's his name for sure. If it was vegetable, he probably have been okay.
In Los Angeles, an ordinance has been passed that bans people from sleeping near homes, schools, and parks in their vehicles and will only make it illegal to sleep overnight in cars and RVs in industrial or commercial districts from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. So you can sleep during the day, but you absolutely cannot sleep from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. That would be illegal.
And if we got rid of all these regulations, I want to go back to our opening statement again here. Instead of average income of $52,000, it would be $330,000.
That's right. The regulations are not only keeping us from prosperity, but they are also hurting the poor. Remember what we said about good government. It helps the poor, cares for justice. Well, listen, it's illegal or in the process of becoming illegal to feed hungry people in 71 cities across the United States, according to the National Coalition for the Homeless. Can you believe that? Fulfilling the gospel of Christ has been made illegal. First Liberty Institute, Kelly Shackelford, I'm on the advisory board there, is defending a church that opened up for homeless people so they could have a warm place to come in and get a meal, and they've tried to zone them out of business.
Yeah, well, we've talked this on Economic War Room, and what the government wants to do is rather than the churches feeding people with actual physical food, they want that to be the role of the government, so they're going to give you a card instead, then the government's going to tell them what they can and can't buy. Sounds a lot like the setup to what we've been talking about with CBDC.
It is the mark of the beast. The government is the beast in a sense. And bottom line, what we're looking at is the church, which is commanded by Christ to love the least of these, my brethren, should be out feeding the hungry. You know, Jesus really separated the sheep and goats and asked, you know, did you feed the hungry? And the government is telling you, no, you cannot do it. You cannot fulfill the gospel. These are regulations. So they're doing everything the opposite of what government ought to be doing. In fact, in Europe, it's even worse. It just blows my mind. They are considering a ban on strike anywhere matches for health and safety. So you won't even, if you're freezing in the cold,
you can't strike a match now.
You can't go into the warm church. You can't sleep there. So you're freezing. You got to start a fire. Nope, you can't strike a match even in Europe. Did you know?
Can you still rub two sticks together to start a fire, you think? I'm sure that's against the law as well.
Well, I imagine that you can if you get a permit.
Yeah, that's probably true. It depends if you're doing it yourself or you bring in a stick expert to do that for you, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so this reminds me of when I was in Whittier, Alaska. I love Alaska. Whittier is a quirky, fun little town. You can only get through a tunnel, and the train goes one way, then it goes the other way, and they have one building, and the entire town lives inside this one building, except for the mayor. But, you know, in that building, I walked through it and looked at it. There are rules and regulations for everything, because the more compact people get, the more rules they have. When you live in rural settings out in the country, you have fewer rules, fewer regulations. You're more dependent on your own family instead of dependent on government. We're talking about the high cost of regulation and lawfare here on Pirate Money Radio. When we come back, we're going to start talking solutions, but also lawfare right after the break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And with our guest host, Mike Carter. Mike, actually, we love having you on Pirate Money Radio, and you've been here from pretty much since the beginning.
Well, we've been doing Economic War Room and a lot of other initiatives, and I get to finally try my voice for radio, and enjoyed being a part of this.
Yeah, no, you're fantastic. So glad to have you. Last week, we talked about central bank digital currency, the ultimate control, and if you want more information about that, you can go back and listen to our podcast at AFR.net or piratemoneyradio.com. Or actually pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts. And you can listen to our episode on central bank digital currency. And we have a solution, and we talked about that. It's Pirate Money, which is the name of my book, Pirate Money. You can get more information at piratemoneybook.com or Pirate Money Radio.
There you are. Pirate Money Radio. And again, as we're getting the word out on what we're doing for solutions against the crazy ideas we're hearing about overregulation and all these things that we're discussing, and whether it's inflation or immigration or whatever the case might be, with transactional gold and silver. And this is we're working together hard to get this message across to the country. And I would encourage those of you that are listening on the radio today, maybe in your car, or if you're a podcast, please share this. Let's make sure we get the word out so we can stand together. Wouldn't it be great if instead of the average income being $51,000, it was $330,000 because we had less regulation? Wouldn't it be great if we had economic liberty and instead of seeing our money being eroded away at less than 90% since it got off the gold standard to real value and real money, having that access with transactional gold and silver? This is the legislation that we're trying to work and help equip people to make this happen in your state.
Wouldn't it be great if we had the government described in Psalm 72 with a love of justice, judging people in the right way, treating poor fairly, prosperity for all, and abundant prosperity until the moon is no more? But that's not been the case. We've become an overregulation society. We have now, with all of these excessive regulations, we're creating a whole new class of criminals, and they control us with our money. So they'll just fine you and take away some of your money. Central bank digital currency will take away any control you have whatsoever and give it all to the government. More rules, more fines, more criminal activity, and the potential for selective enforcement. You saw President Trump, 34 felony counts for mislabeling an expense as a legal charge with an intent to deceive the election. Granted, the money was given to a lawyer, And the accountant made the bookkeeping entry himself. It was done once, but it was repeated over 34 times. So it's the same single action repeated 34 times equals 34 felonies. Hey, look, if you pay a lawyer and your accountant books it as a legal expense without your instruction, is that really criminal activity? I guess a jury of peers decided. Now, they didn't decide for necessarily the same underlying crime because the judge's instructions.
Told them they could do that. Yeah. Make it. You pick which crime you want it to be.
You know, the average American looks at that and they says, wow, a former president, he's committed a felony. Well, there was a book that was written a few years ago from a Harvard-trained attorney, and it's titled, Three Felonies a Day, How the Feds Target the Innocent. If you do three felonies a day, then the average American is committing 1,000 felonies a year, 10,000 in a decade. I guess President Trump, by comparison, I mean, he's just not very good at it.
Well, that gets back to that old saying, you know, show me the man and I'll find the crime.
Yeah, though, that quote was from Stalin's head of the secret police. Show me the man and I will find you the crime. Oh, well, that's not the case in America. Surely we're committed to the rule of law. We have the fairest justice system in the world. That's what good government is, Psalm 72.
That's what I grew up believing, but my perceptions are shifting.
So civil libertarian attorney Harvey Silverglate begs to differ. This is according to a Foundation for Economic Education article. And in his newest book, Three Felonies a Day, How the Feds Target the Innocent, is a frightening reminder that the federal justice system in this country seems to have picked up where the Soviets left off. Basically, every time you leave your home, there's a crime that can be found and thrown at you. And even if they don't find you, if you get pulled over by a police officer, I've got a great friend, best friend in high school, a police officer, he said, look, if I pull some over, I guarantee you I can find something they've done wrong. We share Pat as a mutual friend.
Yep. Yeah, it's scary stuff. And everything that I used to hear about the Soviet Union was as a kid and going through high school and learning about Russia and so forth. And I was so thankful to be in the U.S. I'm now seeing play out before us here in our own country, where I don't necessarily feel like, things are, justice is happening the way that it's supposed to be happening.
Right. Well, hey, let me quote from the Foundation for Economic Education article. Prosecutors are able to structure plea bargains in ways that make it nearly impossible for normal, rational, self-interest calculating people to risk going to trial. The pressure on innocent defendants to plead guilty and cooperate by testifying against others in exchange for a reduced sentence is enormous. So enormous that such cooperating witnesses often fail to tell the truth, saying instead what prosecutors want to hear. Now, I think about that lawyer for President Trump, who, by the way, has been convicted as a felon himself.
The fixer.
Yes, the fixer. And not only has he been convicted of a felon himself, he's admitted to perjury himself. Yes. And he was the sole damning witness in that trial of the former president of the United States. Now, I know, depending on what news you're following, Trump is either the worst president ever and a convicted felon, or there are some people who glamorize him too much and is the savior of all mankind. I can tell you he's neither one of those. He's certainly not Jesus, and he's certainly not the worst human being to ever walk the earth, as they're telling us. But they did exactly this. This article on Foundation for Economic Education was written October 22nd, 2010, and yet, let me read that again and apply it to Michael Cohen. Prosecutors are able to structure plea bargains in ways that make it nearly impossible for normal, rational, self-interest calculating people to risk going to trial. The pressure on innocent defendants to plead guilty and cooperate by testifying against others in exchange for a reduced sentence is enormous, so enormous that such cooperating witnesses often fail to tell the truth, saying instead what prosecutors want to hear. Now, if that's true for normal, rational American people, how much more true for convicted felons who are known perjurers, who have an axe to grind and hate the president of the United States? That, I'm telling you, when I look at that judgment, it infuriates me because I know the judge allowed testimony from Stormy Daniels, a porn actress, to talk about completely irrelevant things, but wouldn't allow an official from the Federal Election Commission to even describe what the law says at the Federal Election Commission about whether or not paying a non-disclosure agreement would violate federal election law. They wouldn't let that testimony in, and yet that testimony would have crucially said, hey, it's not illegal. He did not commit a secondary crime, which means the falsifying accounting records would not have been proven to be a felony. It would have stayed a misdemeanor, and frankly, no one would have brought those charges.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a witch hunt. If they can go after a former president of the United States, what will they do to average Americans?
They took the blindfold off the justice, right? Justice is no longer blind anymore. It was definitely a manipulated process.
It really, truly was. Now, we have another. We got a guilty verdict, I guess, has come out on Hunter Biden on weapons charges. Mm-hmm. But I've seen, sadly, that laptop, and I've seen just the nasty, dirty business that was in there with all of the drugs and the sex and the everything else. Just it's nothing I want to talk about on family radio. It was horrific. But do we have a two-tier justice system, or are we fair across the board? Will you be treated fairly if you come under lawfare? Why do we bring this up? Because if they continue to expand regulations, there are new crimes that you could be charged with. Not only is it costing you enormous amounts in your family, the average family 11 years ago would have been making $330,000 a year if government had simply stayed at the size it was in 1949. All right, granted, we needed to add some new regulations. We got some new things going on in the world, so we have to have additional regulations. But do we really have to take the average family income from $330,000 to $53,000 just to keep us all safe?
Yeah, it's such a big number, it's hard to even get your head around. But I believe those numbers do add up when you see the regulations that take place out there. And I think of my grandfather who had a, all types. He was a farmer, and then he had a car dealership for a while. He was a Chevrolet dealer, and then he was a tractor dealer, and he had all these different entrepreneurial things he did, but he wasn't bogged down with regulation. He got to try a lot of different things, and he was not a wealthy man by any chance, but he had an opportunity to try and do things. And I see that and how hard it is today to even start up a business if you're going to try and do that. And then I see the challenges we're coming against us with economic liberty. And if they start to control our money and we don't have an alternative like we talk about with private money, I have a lot of motivation to make sure we get transactional gold and silver across the finish line.
The government that works best is the government closest to the people. Giving the federal government exclusive control of your money with the regulations that they add and their penchant for central bank digital currency and the control it would bring them would be disastrous for economic liberty. We need the freedom to try, the freedom to fail, and the freedom to succeed. If we have pirate money, transactional gold and silver issued by a state under Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution, where they can be closer to the people and giving us opportunities to save, spend, and give. Giving, spend, and invest, three things you can do with your money. With freedom, we will have more freedom. This is how we fight back against the administrative state, the bureaucracy, the control mechanism of the federal government. And we're going to get a chance to vote in the upcoming election, and you need to decide which type of country you want to live in. There's an election coming. Here's a choice. Under President Biden, we've been told, according to research, that 8 years of a Biden presidency would equal $60,000 in additional costs to the American family, on top of the $280,000 we've lost since 1949. Do you want more regulation or less regulation? What do you think, Mike?
I think we're all going to vote for less regulation, but most importantly, give us freedom.
We want freedom. So I hope President Biden wakes up, listen to this program. President Biden, take us away from the regulatory state, or President Trump come in and help save us from this. This is Kevin Freeman. We're Pirate Money Radio, talking liberty, security, and values for your family and your future.